Namaste and welcome. It's good to see everyone here today. And Steve, if please, next time, leave him home. Thank you. Yeah, no, you can't bring him and leave him in the car. That's not, that's not good. And if you could clean up after him before you leave, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. So if anyone has any more questions, feel free to write them down and put them in the satsang bowl over here. Do we have any announcements or anything today? Anything? Does anyone think of anything? Okay. I only have one announcement today, that we're going to start not having any more energy work being done on satsang day, so that I can spend time with people afterwards. We can go out and, have lunch or whatever and can kind of relax. And so I have time to prepare for satsang. I'd like to do a little meditation before. So please respect that and continue to ask to have energy work done on satsang day. I know it's more convenient for you, but please make the appointments to come up anytime during the week. Except for I'm going to start trying to take one day off a week, either Saturday or Monday. So that needs to be coordinated. But any other time, it's open to come up to have energy work done. Also, if anyone is interested, you're more than welcome to come up and use the satsang hall for meditation during the week. And if you'd like to have some formal evening meditation time, that would be possible as well. So if we could give me some feedback as far as timing, what would be good, what days, what times would be good for people, so we could set something up, so we could have a more an also a formal thing during the week for people to come. So I think that's about it for announcements. Anyone that would like to do seva of any type around here, let me know what you'd like to do and when, and we can coordinate that. So Lena is now in charge of doing the plants, and Dr. Bardot has then the save of putting together the library. So that's all well appreciated. And Premananda is here and takes care of the phone and my breakfast and other things around the ashram. So also appreciated. And Alakananda has graciously put in our Comcast for our system, for our computers, and I think he was going to put in also a phone system for here, so also greatly appreciated. So everyone that has been giving, save if I've forgotten anybody, I'm sorry. And thank you, Niranjananda, for doing the big move, for the people that have been involved in the move and helping with the cleaning and all of that that goes with it. So all appreciated. And without further ado, we'll go to the satsang bowl. Are Ganesh, Shiva, and Kali associated with certain chakras? They are, but we don't get into that because, once again, I don't want you to be focusing on body awareness, okay? Ganesh is primarily, they say, first chakra, okay, where you start the journey at. So you come to Ganesh, And this is why we have Ganesh here. You propitiate and, you know, ask for the blessing. Ganesh clears the way, gets rid of the obstacles. Okay. But that happens also throughout your journey, not only, you know, a first chakra thing. Don't think you get beyond the first chakra and all of a sudden I don't need it any longer. You know, it's not that. And any of these, like Ganesh or Shiva or Kali, are all representations of things and energies and things that are also within you. What they are, you are as well, okay? Just the same as what Guru is, you are as well, okay? So try to understand more the symbology of what they are representing rather than to figure out if they have a physical location or not, or if they are a physical being or not, okay? Because then when you're doing that, all you're doing is once again causing more of separation into yourself and other. Okay. He's very intent on just... Is it normal to lose your religious as you go along? Perhaps I mean the dogma. The further you get, the more expanded you become, the more these things, dogmatic things, start to fall away. Okay. The dogma and these things are in place for people that, you know, need to have rules and regulations and guidelines. They haven't really found within themselves that stability. Okay. But the further you go, the more insight you start to have. And when you finally enter into realization, you find that the Absolute wears no face. It's not male, it's not female. It simply is. Okay. It's the basis for all of creations. It's the basis for what you are. It's the basis for infinite, it's just primal, infinite potential. Okay. Dogma, all of this comes out of man's attempting to interpret and attempting to shove it into a box. I'm sure they mean well. But instead of freeing people up, it winds up confining even more. They become prisoners of the dogma. Okay. Then they get in a rigid mindset of this way is the only way, this way is the right way. Rather than seeing the flowering, the beauty, that there are so many ways and avenues to worship God and to, you know, have that type of a connection. There should be a celebration of the many different avenues and paths rather than fighting amongst themselves. So I think the further you go, the more eclectic you become. Even though here I speak primarily through Hindu modality, it doesn't mean that I have anything against Christianity or Buddhism. Many times I'll bring up scripture and things within biblical that substantiates or Buddhist ways, paths, means, because it's one. It's the same thing being pointed to. It doesn't matter the religious persuasion. They're all attempting to point to the same place. That divine essence, which is always present, but not recognized. Okay. So, yeah. More than likely, the feeling of religiousness starts to fall away. The more you go within and become the mystic, the more this outer, you need to have these dogmatic stakes in place to hold you. Okay. I think at that point you just become so much more expanded and enter the celebration of it rather than the rules and regulations. How can sadhakas best support the ashram, and what seva is still needed at the ashram? Well, I think we covered a lot of this last week, that sadhakas give what you can give, whether it's time, services, or money. You give where you can give. Like Lena's expertise happens to be in the plants, and so this is what she's offering, and that's wonderful. Some people don't have the time to do physical seva. They give financial. They're better endowed financially, okay? So they help to give something financially, which helps to pay the utilities. It helps to, you know, it helps to offset some of the costs here. So whether it's somebody is giving financially or they're giving of their services, so they come and they help to keep the place clean, or they help to, you know, whatever it is, it's all valued, it's all appreciated. Yes.
How about make a seva list, and people can look through there and go, I can do that, I can do that.
We could put together something, a seva list, you know, because the place needs to be kept vacuumed. It needs to be, you know, there are a lot of things that could be put in place here.
In addition to whatever everybody, you know, some people are naturally good at plants or something, and they see that and they can do that. But yeah, the other routine lists of things would be nice to be able to just look through the list and pick some things to do.
That would be possible as well. So I'll look into getting that in place. What was your biggest obstacle to your enlightenment, and how did you overcome? I think some of the biggest obstacles were that you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to get somewhere. And just seeing yourself as a person that's attempting to get something. I think that was the largest obstacle. Rather than having a practice in place and surrendering within that and allowing these things to fall away, allowing that grace to appear, we attempt to think that we need to do something and push it and get there. I'm going to get there. Well, there's no I there. At the point of realization, there is no I in place to get somewhere. There's only that. So So as long as we're trying to sustain an image, or we're attempting to be more holy, or we're attempting to be something, all the categories that, you know, that come along a spiritual path, I need to be X, Y, and Z. It's all wrapped around this I figure and identity and persona that we put into place. I need to be a better person. I'm on a spiritual path. Okay. And rather than getting better, what happens is, in actuality, the delusion that you are somehow not good enough, or the delusion of these other things, begin to fall away. And you find out that the rest of it has always been in place. It's been covered over. It wasn't that you needed to get somewhere. It's already there. Okay. It's covered over with the illusion of thinking that we're something other than what we truly are. The greatest obstacle is mind. The mental stuff that comes, which in turn creates the emotional stuff. They feed off of one another continually. This is why it's so important to do the practices that keep bringing you back to center, the mantras and the one thing at a time, one pointed focus, to allow the mind to still. Because what happens when the mind starts to still is when all the insights begin to emerge. All these epiphanies, these aha experiences. But what happens when we have these epiphany experiences, then once again the mind wants to latch onto it and look what I've got, and then once again we're back in the same rut we just had a secondary moment to get out of. Sometimes we try too hard rather than expanding and relaxing and opening the heart and allowing the heart-centered focus to move. Once that heart starts to expand, then we start to open and things will begin to occur. Once we take the stress off of we need to do, and allow grace to happen, it begins to flow. It begins to expand. Okay. So once again, it's all about surrender, surrender, surrender. Part of the difficulty is in this society we learn from a young age that you have to excel through this mental thing. You have to learn it. This is not something that can be learned. You don't learn your way there. You have a foundational philosophy in place. Okay, so you have some understanding. But then the rest comes by experience. And the experience comes as one begins to relax into it and surrender and do meditation and do japa from the heart, which starts to open that up and starts to expand it. So one either goes in the way of expansion to where you're totally expanded and then there's nothing separate from you. Or there's a total contraction until there's only that singular point. And that also falls away until there's once again only that one which is all. So it doesn't matter whether you go through introspection and pulling away netty, netty, not this, not this, not this, or whether you're in a total expansion within the heart-centered awareness. Both dynamics take you to the same end. What was your biggest tool for enlightenment? And they're asking, was it prayer or was it surrender? Surrender. Most times when we pray, why are we praying? Yeah, because we want something. Give me. Give me. We pray out of lack. Rather than surrendering and finding what we have now is what we need now. Acceptance, surrender. If you want to pray, pray. May I have the grace to surrender. May there be grace to surrender. May there be grace to open the heart. So it looks like today that was the end of the questions in the satsang bowl. Very quick today. Unless anyone has anything else. Yes, Salakananda.
Is there a donation bowl around somewhere?
It's over by the Kuan Yin over here. So at this point, we'll go ahead and take a break. Any that want tea, the kitchen is that way. If somebody would like to volunteer to do seva for tea, we've got a couple of teapots that we could put on. So we'll take a break and have some tea, and then we will go ahead and have a more extended meditation time today. So thank you. Namaste. Thank you for coming.